Good morning, dear Thai, dear Sangha, dear friends. Today is the second day of May in year 2015, and I am in the beautiful Tower of Akoya in Miami Beach, Florida, thanks to our sister Jackie. Generosity. So thank you, Brother Antonio, for the wonderful retreat that you have helped organize again. Thank you, Blue Ocean Sangha, for your continuing diligent practice. And thank you, friends. So today is May 2nd, and every day I remember our teacher Titania Khan's recommendation to make each of our day a day of celebration. And it was difficult. No, it was not difficult. It was a little bit more difficult for me this morning to find what it is that we want to celebrate today. Because this day is has been preceded by many big days. And yesterday, May 1st, was a very big international day for the working people, they say. And as I'm not working anymore, so that was not a day for me to celebrate. But I heard from the news and that it was a very big celebration in many countries. And the week before was preceded by some also by I'm at loss of word here because it has been very emotional for me. But the whole country of Vietnam was also celebrating their victory over the most powerful force in on Earth in the world, and the reunification of Vietnam, the end of a very fierce war. So it was a big celebration, and as I've had the chance to share with some of my friends, I've been in, I have spent the last 5 months in Vietnam, immersing myself back into my native country, living and being a part of them. And now, back to America, meeting with other friends and Vietnamese and non-Vietnamese here. And also my family back in Vietnam and my family here. To see and to live and to be with the perspective of the two perspectives of that same happening event so I'm there in the middle of celebrating mood and also of a very grieving and sad mood. Sad for my people who have lost everything in the war. Happy for everybody who have been able to escape from what could have been the continuation if the war was to continue. Happy for the peace and for the non-war that we have been living since 1975, 40 years now. So today, May 2nd, can be a very, could be, can be, will be, is an easier day because there's none, well, not true. So May 2nd, how about celebrating today's day? The day of the day. The day where I am so happy to be in this wonderful place. And yesterday when I came here to meet with Jackie to open up or to prepare this room with Maura and David to celebrate being alive, to celebrate a new day, to celebrate a wonderful place where it is, the sky is so blue, the sand is white, it is warm outside, cool inside. And with nothing more to wish for. And yesterday, after the preparation here, we had the chance to go out together for dinner in a very nice Mexican restaurant. And I thought of my brother Tio Tavo, so we spoke of him. And of the nice Mexican restaurant near the Old Mare Ranch, where we where I was introduced to the beautiful taquitos, and we had that also yesterday. When we came, the sun was setting down, so the sky was of a very nice golden shade. And when we left, the moon was fully there, smiling to us. And our sister told me, "This is paradise on earth." And I look at her and I smile and I say, "I agree." It is so wonderful for me to be able to be in touch with all the sanghas I'm meeting when I am traveling like this. And so this is the second week of this spring tour. And the last week I was in Omaha, and we also had a beautiful retreat. It's so good to see the Honey Locust Sangha here this week with us, continuing on the practice of the retreat that we did last week. In fact, the tour started with my retreat, with a retreat in Montreal 2 weeks ago. And in Montreal, we studied together the Anapanasati Sutra, the conscious breathing. And conscious breathing was the eighth talk or the eighth theme of this year's program of study. And this year's program of study is about the Four Noble Truths. is about the establishment of mindfulness and the function of the mind. So we engage ourselves in a very ambitious program of study, and it has been wonderful. It has been wonderful because we have seen and we have learned how Thay has so skillfully brought together all of the Buddhist teaching into the teaching and the practices that he has taught and shared to us, and that we have been so lucky to receive, and that we are also so lucky to be able to practice in our daily life. So if you allow me to maybe sum it up a little bit, I have shared with my friends in Montreal that when we study Buddhism, it is always good to remember that Buddhism is about, is from, is at its base about suffering. The Buddha has taught the Four Noble Truths, with the First Noble Truth being suffering. And we come to Buddhism, I came to Buddhism because I suffered. Many of my friends also came to Buddhism because they were not happy in their life, because they were stressed out, because they were burnt out, because they were anxious, because they couldn't sleep at night. So the first truth of ill-being, the first truth of suffering is what has brought me, what has brought many of my friends, and what has brought also the Buddha to look for a way out, to look for the way out. And thanks to suffering, and thanks to the intensity or to the of the Buddha suffering, it is difficult to for me to be able to describe how I think, how much I think the Buddha must have suffered for him to put so much effort in his quest for the way out of suffering. But when you have so many things in your at your disposal, we know that he was a prince, we know that he could have everything that he wished for, we know that his father did everything he could in order to shield the young prince Siddhartha so that he be freed from, that he be shielded from any source of suffering. Because at his birth, it was predicted that he would be a very big king or a pro... a prophet or something. Yeah. And of course, the father being a king would not want his son to become a monk. So they really tried to do everything for him to indulge into all the pleasures in life, into everything that a regal. And he left all of that, went into the forest without anything. Almost died out of hunger, put himself through all kind of did they call this practice, the austere way of life and practices that almost killed him, the ascetic way of life. So one must be very motivated, and I think that the only, the one force that can motivate us to put so much into that quest is the is the degree of our suffering. And that he has put so much effort is an indication of how much he must have suffered. And when I was in Pittsburgh, in the Vesak celebration, I did share about my feeling, my belief on the degree and on the suffering that the Buddha must have endured. So thanks to that suffering, thanks to his determination, thanks to his utmost intelligence, thanks to his diligent practice, etc., we have inherited or we have been given this wonderful teaching. The wonderful teaching that Dhamma teacher Tony Sylvester has so well described in one of the talks that I've heard from him in Pittsburgh. And Dhamma teacher Tony Sylvester say that he so loved the teaching of Thich Nhat Hanh because the teaching of Thich Nhat Hanh, yes, is about the first truth, but it is what Tony like is that it is about the third noble truth. And Tony liked the teaching that Thay has proposed. And Thay has proposed to rephrase or to restate the Four Noble Truths under a new form. And the new form would be happiness is possible. And so the First Noble Truth of our modern Buddhism can start with La vita è bella. Happiness is possible if we practice the 37 practices to help us stay on. I didn't share about the 37. That was the topic of last fall tour. In Vietnamese, we call that the 37 phẩm trợ đạo. So it's the 37 practices that can help us practice the way. And the 37 practices, no, this is too long, so I will share with you the list that Brother Tony has compiled after the retreat, and I will send it out to you. Oh, no, not me. Antonio will send it to you. And in the 37, or the way that the 37 has been taught, it starts with the four establishment of mindfulness. So the four establishment of mindfulness are a part of those 37. So are the Noble Eightfold Path and many other practices that have been also very skillfully weaved into the practice that we are doing, the mindfulness practice of mindfulness meditation in the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh. So last month, we were studying conscious breathing. And conscious breathing, when practiced diligently, will allow us to develop the four establishment of mindfulness. And the four establishment of mindfulness, when properly developed, will allow us to practice the seven factors of enlightenment. And so last month, what I was sharing in the retreat in Montreal and in Omaha was that conscious breathing the theme of last month is the basis of our practice of mindfulness. And it has been, and that even if we may, no, even if it can be perceived or seen as something very simple, it can have, or it does have, I apologize for my looking for words, because I really feel that I do not have the vocabulary to be able to express what it is that I would like to be to share with you. What I am finding in the word can is that it leaves a doubt on the possibility. So I will say that I do not have any doubt that this practice that I am trying to practice, and that we are trying to practice together. Breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. It's a wonderful and it's a very, very, very deep and profound teaching. And that if we practice it correctly, and correctly meaning as correctly as we can, because what is a correct and what is a less correct and what is a perfect, there's many nuances to that. So if we practice that very easy to say, easy to pronounce, easy to read, easy to breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. That practice, that teaching is the most profound and deep practice that we can do. And if we do that practice correctly, it will lead us to full and complete enlightenment. And that is my strong belief, and that is what I am trying to say, and I do not know how to say it, because when I say it can bring it, then that's not what it means, because yes, it can if we do it, and if we do it, for sure it will, right? Okay, is it a little bit better? Still not what I want to say, but closer. And when I am speaking like that, it is because I am looking at myself and at my practice. And I know that there is so much more that I could do, that I could have done. And I know that there is such a treasure that is still waiting for me there. And that is what is keeping me motivated, and that is keeping me wanting or desiring to stay and to continue to walk on this path. And so thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing me to be and to continue on with this practice. When I say thank you, I again feel at loss of words in the same way I couldn't find a way to share with you how wonderful I feel, or how wonderful I know, or how wonderful this practice can be for me. So thank you. It's not enough, but please do Please do know. Please do believe in my. You know why I have asked you to come closer to me? Yesterday, we found out that we forgot about the PA system. And the friend who organized a retreat and talks for me, and this may be something that I have in common, that is similar to my teacher. But yeah, people in Omega or people in Jefferson Hall or all those places, they so resent or are scared of. The technical people do not like to organize or to set up for Thai because it is so difficult to do the sound. And the reason is because he's speaking very, very softly. So if you think that I'm speaking softly, you and I can shout. I can yell, I can do all of that. But to be talking about what we are doing right now is not talking. So Brother David is very practical. He just say, "Well, Chenwei, it's easy. You will just have to raise your voice." So I'm raising my voice. And I think I can do that. But Mora, when was the last time you tell David you love him? How loud did you say it? And in our Dhamma talk, that's how I want to communicate with you. I do not want to communicate my feelings to you from my words, but I want it to be from my heart to yours. And when I am speaking loudly, when I am shouting out, it shut my heart. And whatever you can hear from my voice is only a very small part, a distorted part of what it is that I want to convey. And the true message is not in these words. And that is why I can speak and the better I can express it. So this is the excuse for. And the reason why I'm repeating. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. Very mindful of the time that I have already spent in the time that we have together today. Because in that in-breath and out-breath, talking about the in-breath and out-breath, practicing the breathing in and breathing out, we are practicing today's theme. So today's theme is about the present moment. And friends listening to me may have been getting impatient, waiting for me to get into the theme of the present moment. For friends who have not noticed that yet, I've been in that subject from the beginning of this talk. And I have started with saying out where we are and what day we are. And I could have said we are here and now. And that would have been more in the line of today's theme. So we are here and now, in this very present moment. That is another thing that I'm doing. When you are there, and I don't say anything, and you are waiting for what I am about to say, I think that I just brought you back to the here and now. And that brings me to breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. Breathing in a long breath, I know this is a long breath. Breathing out a long breath, I know this is a long breath. Breathing in a short breath, I know this is a short breath. Breathing out a short breath, I know this is a short breath. Breathing in, breathing out, allow us to stop and to come back to the present moment. And when we are back to the present moment, we realize the first miracle of mindfulness. The mindfulness of coming back, the mindfulness of arriving, the mindfulness of being home, the miracle of being body and mind united to be our full, whole, complete person. How often have we recited that? How often have we said that? How often have we heard that? How lucky we are to have been able to hear, to do, to practice, and to feel just for the duration of an in-breath and an out-breath. How wonderful it can be to be home, to come home. And that is the wonderful miracle of coming back, of being alive. And that is the practice of stopping. And that is the practice of coming back to the present moment. And that is the practice of, or the theme of today's talk. So coming back to this present moment, we feel wonderfully alive. Coming back to the present moment, we can be in touch, and we can be in touch with that wonderful feeling of being alive. And with that wonderful feeling and realization that we are alive, we also what is the first thing that you notice when you are coming back? When you are in the present moment? I shared with you what my sister Mora said yesterday, looking at the moon. How many people are there in Miami Beach? How many people saw the moon yesterday? And how many people felt happy looking at the moon? And that is the wonder of the practice of the present moment, of being anchored, being solid in the present moment, to be able to be in touch with the wonders of life that are happening continuously. The third noble truth, happiness is possible. All the conditions of happiness are already there, and they are all available. And this practice allow us to come back to touch them, to be with them, to live them, to be nourished by them, to be healed by them. And that is also the practice, or that is the practice of the seventh of the 14 mindfulness training of the Order of Interbeing. What are you waiting for? So the present moment is that wonderful practice that we want to do, that we are doing in order to come back to where we belong, to come back to the present moment, to come back to the here and now, in order to be in touch with all the miracles, with everything that is given to us freely, and that we just need to come back in order to be able to receive and to benefit from the miracle of the present moment. We are the richest person, we are the most fortunate persons in the world. And it has been taught over and over in many of the Buddhist sutras. We are the most fortunate sons of whoever. And we have been given a big inheritance. But we live as if we were the most, what's the word? Destitute. Impoverished. Because we don't know. Because we don't know how rich. Because we do not know how much our parents, our ancestors have left to us. So the present moment, the key and the teaching to remind us to come back to take what it is that belongs to us and what it is that we want to reclaim. This our life and our freedom. We live as if we were already dead. We walk like a walking dead. We are running after things that we already have in our pocket. And the image of that beggar having a big diamond in his collar, is that image? We already have everything that we need and much more. We just need to come back, and that's the practice of the present moment. When I came into this practice, when I met this practice, when I came back to Thai, that is the treasure that I have received from my teacher. I was in my 30s, and for the first time in my life, I could see how beautiful a sunrise could be. I still remember that sunrise that I saw from Upper Hamlet in Plum Village. I was sitting in meditation in my tent, and it was still dark because we wake up at 4 and we start our morning meditation at 4. And then the sun would start to pierce through the dark cloud to the black cloud. And it would start with a very small orange color dot in that black dark sky. And that spot could gradually grow bigger. And with it growing bigger, the black becomes dark blue. And all of a sudden, those dark gray cloud would take all kind of yellowish, red, bright red, bright, well, just like that wonderful sunset in that we see in the Florida. And it's like a moving theater. It was like a movie unfolding it until it become a blue sky with white cloud. And I was completely immersed and in it for the whole duration of that sunrise. It must have lasted more than an hour or two. But that beautiful image have stayed with me, and not only the image, but what I have lived during those moments. I wish I can only feel it. And because I have felt it, I know that it is possible, and I know when I'm touching it again, it comes back. So I can just say now that I felt so wonderfully alive and connected and in touch. I felt that I was one with all of that. And I felt what big. And that same feeling, in that same retreat I was in Plum Village, I shared it in a Dharma discussion, in our Dharma discussion, and Thay was there also, in that Dharma discussion group. I was in the Lower Hamlet greenhouse, and our family had the task or the duty of watering the plants, and they were young salad plant in the greenhouse. And so I was in that greenhouse, and in the greenhouse it is warm, humid, and I was there with my psh, and the noise of the drop on the ground, with that noise of something just happened in me, and all of a sudden I felt transported from 1987 in southern France to the 1960s in Saigon. Feeling exactly the same feeling I had when I was it was raining so hard that day, and I was hiding myself from the rain under the top of the lady was serving tea, coffee, the stand, and I was behind, and just so the same noise, the same humidity, the same temperature, and all of it. It's not imagination. It is to okay, zip, zip, zip. April 2015, Omaha. The theme of the retreat was practicing with our ancestors. I reminded our friend of a beautiful book that Thay has written, and the name of the book is The Sun in My Heart. And it is such a wonderful image. Thay Thai teaches us that we have one heart that is beating night and day to keep us alive. And he teaches us when we are practicing the first awareness, the first mindfulness, the first establishment of mindfulness, to look at each part of our body and to have a lot of gratitude for our heart that is working tirelessly to sustain and to support us. He teaches us to look at every part of our body to see the interbeing nature and to see how much everything or each part of the body is connected and need every other part of the body. So I also reminded our friend of the practice of the that Thai is doing, a meditation of the little toe. So when Thai is showering himself, he would touch and put soap, wash his toe, and say, "Thank you, little toe, for being there." I don't think that Thai can do that exercise anymore. But even if he doesn't do that, he knows. He knows that the well-being of the little toe is the well-being of everything else, of the whole body. And now he may be feeling one little toe and cannot feel the other one. But he knows it is there because he always say that, "Because I'm here, you are there." And so practicing the little toe, practicing awareness of the heart in the body, can allow us to see that we do not only have one heart, but that the sun is also our heart. And because the sun is my heart and the sun is also your heart, we are not different and we are interconnected and we are one. And so, sitting in Plum Village watching at the sunrise, watering the small plant in Lower Hamlet in the greenhouse, looking at the sun and seeing that it is our common heart. Walking in Miami Beach and looking at the moon are all occasions for us, if we know how to be back in the present moment, to be home. To be home meaning that we are fully there, and we are it all. When we feel dissolved into it, when we feel that we are it all, that is where we are in this present moment. And the present moment, these fleeting moments become eternity. And we are here and now. Word cannot describe. Word cannot describe this. And we can only be it when we are there. And our teachers and Thai have been given it all kind of name, all kind of description. And for me, it is only through our diligent practice, through our doing it correctly, continuously, joyfully, seriously, in order to be able to have a glimpse of it, to be able to live it, to be able to get it, And there's nothing that needs to be done from a teacher that Tai has not done yet. He has been teaching us tirelessly for almost 60 years now. There's nothing that he has hidden from. And in the same way the Buddha has taught, he has given us thousands and thousands of ways of practice. And we just need, I believe, to do it in order to be able to get the wonderful treasures that they want to hand over to us. It is there, and we can do it. So I left the retreat in Omaha, saying that practicing with our ancestors is a wonderful practice. It is a practice that allows us to come back to our root, to come back to where we come from. And it is, I'm not so sure. It may be one way or one skillful means from our teacher to show us the way back to where we belong. Because if we have our ancestors, the blood ancestors we are coming back to, or we are calling upon, we also have our spiritual ancestors. And when we are practicing with the blood ancestors, and we will see that we have other ancestors, and the ancestors of this land are also another stream. And practicing coming back will allow us maybe to see all the other streams that have brought us to be at this point today. And the sun can be seen as our heart or as that ancestor. And we can see that there we come from many, many different streams, and it all converge into this. And the beautiful image of the net of Indra with our body reflecting all Buddhas everywhere. So all Buddhas are in us. And then coming back to the present moment may allow us, I have not been there yet, to meet them all in this very present moment, in this place that Thai call the Pure Land, or in this place that Thai sometimes say is the kingdom. And walking as he's teaching us is supposed to, or can lead us to go back to that wonderful place. So thank you, dear friends, for sharing this wonderful experience. We will continue on with our retreat with a mindful meal. And during the retreat, we'll have also the chance to practice with the touching of the earth and all the practices that we are doing during this retreat and in our daily life everywhere we are all practices that our teachers has taught us in order to allow us to be able to come back to this present moment, to the here and now, to the wonderful place. Thank you.